This edition of Fabric Talk is proudly sponsored by Sassy Jack's Stitchery. Sassy Jack's is a vibrant young needlework shop located on the picturesque main street of Weaverville, North Carolina, happily situated between Five Little Monkeys Quilt Shop and nationally recognized Well-Bred Bakery. We are nestled in a valley of the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of western North Carolina, just minutes north of Asheville and a short 20-minute drive from the Biltmore Estate, one of America's national treasures. Sassy Jack's Stitchery is proud to be a brick-and-mortar needlework shop, featuring cross-stitch, counted needlepoint, embroidery, and punch needle. We host a wonderful collection of fine antique needlework samplers on display, many of which have chartered patterns available for purchase. We frequently rotate our collection, so every visit is likely to yield a new treasure for you to enjoy. We are moving into our fall and winter season of stitching at Sassy Jack's, and we invite you to join us in one of the many opportunities we've created for you to stitch along and learn. We have a return of our tree decorating event, wherein everyone who sends us a newly stitched ornament for our tree by December 24th will receive a coupon for 15% off any single purchase during January and February. This year will also mark our third year doing our special Valentine's Day small exchange. We've opened our designer selection to include Summerhouse Stitchworks and Jeanette Douglas Designs, in addition to Plum Street Samplers. You may stitch any small design from any of these designers using a pattern and supplies from your stash or purchasing something new from us at Sassy Jack's. Finish it into a needlework small and send it to us before January 25th. We will exchange it from another in the group and send you a beautiful gift from your stitching sister just in time for Valentine's Day. Check out our website or upcoming newsletters for more details and finishing tips for these fun winter traditions at Sassy Jack's. We hope you find a way to visit us soon. If you can't make it to us, we hope you visit us online at Facebook, Instagram, SassyJackStitchery.com, and our new floss tube channel, Yonder Ways. We love it when you stop by and say hi, whether it's in person or online. We truly appreciate you, and we really appreciate all we hear and learn from Fiber Talk. We are super proud to be a sponsor of this wonderful resource for stitching goodness. Thank you, Fiber Talk, for giving us some stabby pokey talk twice a week. Kim and team at Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vonna Pfeiffer.
You're listening to Midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast twice weekly for needle artists and people who stab ground cloth.
Yeah, that is right.
Yes. So, okay, the first thing out of the gate, I'm pretty excited about this. A new podcast that we're starting, not Vonna and me, but Ellie and me. Ellie asked for it. She got it.
That's right.
So it's the Artist Nook. We're going to do, it's going to be the Artist Nook. We're initially going to do two podcasts a month. There's a Instagram page, the Artist Nook, and it'll be theartistnook.com as soon as we set up the website. And we're just going to talk to artists, artists and creative people of all kinds. And yeah, Ellie and me. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it is. She's really looking forward to it. So it will be fun for her, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be pretty neat. So our first one, assuming everything goes well, is going to be her art teacher. So, yep. But we'll learn more about than just teaching art. We'll go beyond that. But, and then there's this thing called, now I get to learn about a whole new world of things. There's this thing called Inktober, and they put up these 31 prompts, which are they're just like a single word or two words that are prompts, and then artists all over the world, I guess, do pen and ink illustrations every day off of those prompts. And so at our Instagram page, the Artist Nook, as artist without the S, the Artist Nook. Ellie will be doing one every day. She said she's always wanted to meet that challenge of doing one every day. So until we get the first podcast up, go to Instagram and follow that, and you'll see Ellie's Inktober drawings every day. And yep. We're recording this on the 1st, so there should be, by the time you hear it, there should be two. No pressure on Ellie.
She was working on the prompt last night, the first prompt last night, I know for a fact. So
okay, All right. Well, she she started it. Now she's got to deliver it. Oh, man. So anyway, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to doing that and talking to artists. Somebody asked if that meant we were ending Fiber Talk. Hardly. No. Actually, Fiber Talk is growing even more. We're adding more things. So no, this is a separate thing. Separate thing. Just Ellie and me talking to artists. Yeah, 65-year-old non-artist and a 14-year-old artist. How's that?
Right there, you just got to tune in for that.
Yeah, just to see that train wreck. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, because what do I know? So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. It'll be fun to do that with Ellie, and she can explain art to me.
Yeah, she is just very excited to do it. Yep. She really is.
So there we have that. And then the Queen Sampler. I think you and I have both posted in the past week that we've reached frustration levels.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I figured more than once we would reach frustration levels with this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was cruising, and the Montenegrin stitch for me was very easy, but the double back stitch, is that what it is? The double back stitch?
Yeah.
The double back stitch for me. And in theory, you know, I've read what people have written. There was a couple people what they had written on your Instagram about, oh, it was so easy. And if you think that's hard, wait till you get to the flower band and all that. And it's just like, I don't want to hear that because I am just like, ah. But, I'm a little bit ahead of Gary, and I'm trying to work on the grapes. And the spiral trellis stitch, I'm very frustrated about that. I sat with my doodle cloth last night, and there's been several, when I posted, there's been people saying, well, why aren't you using a doodle cloth? I am using a doodle cloth. It's just that sometimes you can't translate what happened on your doodle cloth on your your piece of linen correctly. That's been my problem. It's either you have a counting error or something. Have you found that to be true as well, Gary?
No.
You haven't? I do.
No.
I can't. I cannot. Once I do it on the doodle cloth, there's sometimes that I go to my real place and I cannot, I mess up on my real linen. But I have done.
See, I think that's fun isn't the right word, but certainly the interesting part is that you and I we're doing the same thing,
mm-hmm.
and having different experiences.
Right, we are.
And it's that in itself has been interesting for me to experience and watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I do it on the doodle cloth, no, I just go do it over there and it works out just fine.
Right. See, and that's not my experience, but I think it's funny that I've been like whatever on the Montenegrin stitch is like, this is easy. And you struggled a little bit with the Montenegrin stitch on the counting. And you're like, he texted me the other night and goes, I don't understand why you had a problem with the double back stitch. This is just like in a stem stitch or whatever. And I was like, you know what, Gary, kiss off.
You should have seen what she wrote.
Yeah. But I mean, that has been
not safe for work.
But it has been interesting that what you struggled with, I didn't, and what I've struggled with, you have. I find that interesting.
Yeah,
personally too.
Because see, the Montenegrin stitch is nothing. I mean that's all cooked up to be much more than it is. The only place where it is challenging is if you're turning a corner to go up an angle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that book, you just do the stitches, and then once you turn the corner, you're gone.
Right.
And there's nothing to it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I posted this. I have finally got it going after four tries where I ripped out an entire section. But what that was is me miscounting the original horizontal base, the number of stitches. on both bands and therefore not getting the right width going up the angle. Uh-huh. And, you know, and that's just stupid, you know, because I wasn't having trouble with the stitch, but I wasn't starting the turn soon enough. And I kept having one too many horizontal stitches because I kept forgetting about the horizontal stitch that makes up the actual turn.
Right.
And so I finally got it. But, yeah, Saturday and Sunday, I was just ready to throw things. Because, I mean, when you get that all stitched, the last time I cut it out, I got up to the top, up the angle and at the top and across, and I sat back and thought, man, that is stitching as close to perfect as I'm probably ever going to get. And then I had to cut it out. And,
oh, yeah, you told me that was perfect stitching that you had to cut out.
I mean, it was clean and tight and precise, and the tension was right all the way up the angle. I sat back and said, man, that's okay. All right, I'm going to treasure that little moment right there. Then I had to get the seam ripper out and cut it all out and throw it away because it was one stitch off. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. But I think I have it now. And that's, you know, that's part of learning these kinds of things anyway. And I'd probably be caught up to you if I hadn't had to redo this thing so many times.
I redid that Montenegrin and double backstitch band. And see, that's what my problem. Well, I don't even know what my problem was with that, with stitching the Montenegrin is I still really do not.
Our guest this week is Vanna's therapist to discuss Vanna's problems. Welcome, doctor.
And I'm off. And when I did those grapes on the left-hand side, I said the right-hand side in my, Instagram post, but that was just because my mind was like combobulated by that time. I'm off one whole stitch on the left hand side of those grapes, and so that means that I have to cut. I am not going to cut anything out or redo that. I'm not. So it's just going to be one stitch too short. Sorry, that's the way I feel about it. Well, what do you say about it? Yeah, I'm just gonna.
There's a way to hide it somewhere, right?
Well, I mean, it just makes those grapes look, but the grapes, if you look at the pattern, sorry, people, if you don't have the pattern, but maybe Gary can put it up on the thing on YouTube. If you look at that on the left-hand side on that band that we're on, those three little grapes that are, first of all, why are those grapes there? Because they're like, you can't even do the stitch that were the spiral trellis stitch on two of them. And I don't know if you noticed this, but on Linda's, Queen, she didn't even do the spiral trellis stitch on that grape that Darlene did.
Mm.
Yep. It's not even done.
I'll take that little out.
Well, I did it on that one because I thought, well, why would I not do it on that one? Just leave that blank. But then I don't know. I got to take that out anyway. But the spiral trellis stitch, I'm looking right now because I don't even think that there's a diagram about how to do it. It just says, you know, do the spiral trellis stitch. Linda in her stitch guide says the only change is that you do the Montenegrin stitch. She only has one line of what she did different on hers. And then I ended up forgetting that she did that different. And I did what Darlene did. So whoops, that wasn't going to be out. But anyways, I don't even believe that there is a diagram for spiral trellis stitch in the Queen Sampler stitch guide from the Needles Praise. I have looked and looked and looked. I do not see one. So I went to the proper stitch, and the proper stitch has a beautiful thing about trellis stitch that's on the in like a rectangle. There is a trellis stitch, the same thing that I see in the proper stitch in here, but it does not address the spiral trellis stitch, just the rectangular or square trellis stitch. And so I have struggled with that trellis stitch. Mine looks like, you know, Linda's, if you look at hers up close, and she does give shots of that in her stitch guide, it's like beautiful. Honestly, it is. It's gorgeous stitching. And so I get done with the first one and I'm like, boy, that just, what did I call it to you? I said, random. Mine is spiral random knot stitch. That's what I said.
Yeah, hers are absolute perfection. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. And so I told Gary before we started, last night I sat with my doodle cloth and I tried it again. And it was like, mine kept on looking like volcanoes. And I thought, I have got to do something. Somebody somewhere has to address this stitch on the internet. And I went first to Mary Corbett, and Mary Corbett addressed the rectangular one. And she did not address the spiral one, but she sent you, had a link for a blog where she did it and had close-up pictures of it. And so this makes sense after looking at her blog and seeing what I got when I just kept on going around and around and around with my knots is that you have to decrease in the center by one stitch over and over and over. So it's not really a counted stitch. Gary said, so it's not a counted stitch. And no, it's not a counted stitch, but I didn't know what kind of stitch it was. And Gary said, so it's just an embroidery stitch. Yeah, that's what it is. It's just an embroidery stitch on a counted piece, as far as I'm concerned. Don't you think, Gary?
I think that's what it comes down to. So, and see, for me, then that's a different mentality. And so you have to approach it different.
Right.
A different mentality would mean is that you would approach it differently.
Yeah, right. Jeez. And that's why.
I love when I do that. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to take that one grape out. I don't know. It's just, and another thing I'm having problems with is just seeing it. I have bought a more magnified glass, and so it's a 5 diopter.
So a more powerful magnifier?
Yeah, that's what it is. you almost need the Hubble microscope to see it. But anyways, I got a more powerful, what is it? What'd you say?
Magnifier.
And
doctor, how does that read to you, doctor, when you hear that? As you analyze Vonna, how does that read to you?
I just don't even know what I'm doing. This is
well, in my expert opinion, she's nuts.
Exactly. I am so discombobulated about this whole band on this sampler that I don't even know what I'm talking about, but I am going to try. I'm going to take that grape out and I'm going to retry it. I did it twice on my doodle cloth, and I feel like it was reasonably nice. And so I'm just going to try again. That's all I can do, right?
Well, yeah, but see, I think I'm not surprised that we're doing this because we decided we were going to do this and we were just going to be open about our experiences, good, bad, or indifferent. And yeah, I figured we would easily reach points where we would be frustrated with this thing and want to bounce it across the room. And last Saturday and Sunday, I was ready to toss that sucker.
Right.
But I said I am not going to let my own stupid counting defeat this, and hung in there, and then I got it. It's part of the learning process, and that's what we're doing with this is we're digging in deeper than we ever have, either of us, and we're learning. And sometimes it hurts.
Right, but I do think, don't you think that even though we're, I don't know, is it a learning piece? I guess, yes, it is a learning piece, but I don't want to, say, well, I'm learning on it, so I just want this to look like crap because, it's okay if you're stitching. That's not how, I knew that's not how you were approaching it. And I'm not approaching it like that either. I want it to be kind of like my opus magnum. You know what I mean? I want it to be like, I can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do. And I just think that, if I just want it to be the best stitching that I have ever done. And I feel, I don't know. I've told this to Gary and he's like, no, don't do it. I feel like when I'm down at Sassy Jack's this week, I'm going to get another piece of this and just start over. I'm going to get another piece of 37 count Russian tea cake and I'm going to get another pack of silks and I'm just going to start over. I know that sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does. Cause I think, I think it's nuts because of all the work you've put in. And I think yours looks beautiful. And to throw it away and start over, I think would just be dumb. You need, I mean, there's nothing wrong with what you've done. It's good. But you know, and you're right. I mean, it's not, we're not doing this as a you know, kindergarten learning tool. Yeah. I want mine to look really good when I'm done too.
Yeah.
Really, I want it to look really good. And I think that's probably part of it, is we're learning these things, Montenegrin stitch, and we're doing it on something we want to look really good, not something that we don't really care how it comes out. And
right.
So there's a little added pressure there, but, you know, as I've said before, I feel like already my stitching is better for this experience.
Oh, I feel like that too. I absolutely feel like that. And I almost feel like, and people are going to take this the wrong way, and please know that I do not mean it like this, but I almost feel like a smarty pants in some cases. You know what I mean? And I don't mean it like arrogantly. I don't. It's just like, I never thought that I would feel like, wow, I know something. You know what I mean? I really didn't feel like I knew, and I don't really know much. You can tell. Sometimes I really don't know much. But yeah, I do feel like that. But I just don't, I don't know. I know I'm off on this band by one, so that bothers me. You know, I'm a perfectionist. And you are too. And don't say you're not, because you are. And I'm off by one on this band, and then I found while I was stitching this band that the letters above it, I'm off on the letters above it by one space. And I think, oh, bad.
You're
bad.
Off by one space on the alphabet?
Yeah, I've got one letter, two letters too close together. There should have been two spaces, and there's one space.
Well,
yeah,
you adjust. Yeah.
I mean, I've got the band is as wide as it should be, right? I just have two of the letters screwed up.
Yeah.
Two of the letters too close.
You'll never see that on 37 count. You'll never see that.
No, and I don't think that you could look at
it. I'm going to post a picture with a big red arrow, but no one else will ever see it.
I don't know.
Here's where Vanna made a mistake.
I think that okay, so we're taking our queen samplers to play together down at Weaverville this week. So you'll get to see it. And I think that you'll see, yeah, like, boy, this stitching does suck. You need to, like, get another 37 count Russian, T-Russian. I don't know.
I don't think so. But I will say I got to make a list, because yeah. I got to get some more silk, because I've been going through some of this silk like water, and – I'm going to come up short. So
yeah,
I'm
close on, I'm not close, but I mean, I am like low on several colors. And I think that, I don't know, I might just have to buy a whole new set of silks, just because I think I cut mine too short.
Yeah.
And I told you that, I think I cut it too short. I'm very frustrated with this, with using these silks.
You have expressed that several times. This isn't a recent thing. All along, you've been frustrated with the silk. And
right.
So what is that? You cut it too short?
I think I cut it too short. I cut it shorter than I normally would have, because I didn't want the fuzz factor, right?
Yeah.
And then I didn't fully understand about away and waist knots when we, you know, I didn't ever really use those before this, you know, I guess I did count a needlepoint, but I didn't like use them when I cross stitched. You know what I mean? And
right. Cause the pin stitch will take care of 90% of your cross stitching. Yeah.
Right. So I didn't really understand about how much of that you would use. You know what I mean? I didn't understand that. So, I cut them probably a little bit too short. And okay, now tell me about Kim from Sassy Jack's Yonder Ways, her floss tube channel. She had a lady on there, and when she was on, and I can't think of what her name is. She does those cruises. And you've talked to her, you and Chris, when Christine was on, you talked to her, and she talked about needle sizes. And she is a big proponent that you
screening.
Yeah. Susan Greening Davis. That's what it is. Okay, so she again addressed that when Kim was talking to her on Yonder Ways. And I had heard that before about you want a needle big enough to open those linen threads up, right?
Right.
Okay, so I thought maybe my fuzzing problem is because I'm not using a big enough needle, right? So I got out some 24s and some 22s because she's a big proponent even of 22s using right, on small linen.
She'll use a log if she can get away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I got one out and tried that. Nope. That just didn't work for me either. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm using a 26. That's like my go-to size is 24s or 26. I do use 28s on on the 46 count linen. I've been using 28. So on the one that we're doing Sarah on.
Yeah.
I've been using 28s because it's a tight weave, I feel like. Anyways, I tried that and that didn't work either. I don't know. I'm just not pleased with Swaddle J. I'm just not pleased with how it's laying, and I'm even using my BLT for a lot of this, and I'm just not happy with how it's laying.
Laying ahead. Or fuzzing or both?
It's both.
Okay. What do you mean? All right, the fuzzing I understand, and I sometimes wonder how you're pulling that thread through the linen. If it's more vertical, or if you're getting an angle to it and you're dragging it across the linen threads more.
No,
you're going vertical.
I just go up and down. I don't pull down. I pull up. Now let's talk about this. I'm using my way I stitch, you know, the needle up, you know, I think that's the problem. That's what I think.
Well, okay. Cause that would make some sense because you're bringing the thread up
with the eye,
with the eye and that thread is coming up alongside the needle.
Yeah.
So now you're pressing that thread against metal of the needle and the linen thread. So yeah. I could see that fraying it more.
Yeah, that's what I think. And
that makes sense.
That
doesn't matter how big your needle is.
No.
Because you're cramming both in. Yeah, I bet that's part of it.
Right. I think it is. I think that is the sole reason. Is that reason because of that. And so, but see, I've stitched like that for like my entire stitching career. And so it's hard for me not to stitch like I have to. Right. So let's think about Vonna stitching the queen. I have to not only think about where my everything's laying front and back. You know, I have to think about how that thread's laying on the front. I have to think about how it's laying on the back because we're doing it reversibly. Then not only all of that, I'm learning new stitches, but then not even all of that. I have to think about, hey, listen, no, don't come up with the eye of the needle. You have to come up with the point. You have to turn it. So that's just a lot of things for me to think about, you know?
And Dr. Her inability to multitask. Now, how would you analyze that? I think you have to try that. I think you have to start turning the needle to see if that cuts down on your fraying.
I can already tell you because I tried it last night and it does.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's what it is. And because I was just thinking in bed the other night when I couldn't sleep, why do I not like it? Because everybody says silk. So even you yourself has said, you know.
Oh, I feel when I go back to DMC, I feel like I'm stitching with hemp.
I know you said that. And I said, I like rope. I like the way rope lays. I don't know. It's not me inherently hating silk. It's not that I hate silk. It's not that. It's just that the fraying, it doesn't fray. It's fuzzy. It's not, you know what I mean? It gets fuzzy quicker. So that's what I think it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with the product. It has to do with the person using the product and I'm not using it correctly.
Yeah.
And so, but well, anyways, Kim and the Sassy Jacks on the Yonder Ways with Susan Greening Davis. Any Stitcher needs to watch that episode especially, because they hit on a lot of tips and techniques that I think is valuable for any Stitcher. So go watch that. I think it's like number 6. Anyways, it's go look at it. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, I mean, I think you have to try that. Well, you already have, and it worked.
Yeah.
I mean, it with silk, like if I have to pull something out, it like a whole bunch, you know, I just pull it out and ditch
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
I just ditch yeah. it. Where you, with DMC or any cotton, over-dyed cotton or whatever, you can, you know, that'll take a beating all day long.
Yeah.
And silk won't. And it just goes with the beast, but. By the same token, I think for things such as this, it looks really nice. You know, and I say, I feel like I'm stitching with hemp, but when I'm working on my traveling Santa project, and that's all DMC, it's fine. You know, you're just back to the usual. And you know, I've said this 100 times too, particularly with Sarah B, some of the, I can make a very good argument that the people who did that with DMC instead of silk have easily as good, in some cases, better looking sampler than the silk delivers. So, it's the kind of thing I think you can argue all day long, but your frustrations with it, it sounds like, are more your technique than they are the thread itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then that just goes to show, I mean, this is, you can always grow, you know what I mean? And if I would just, you know, like I've said over and over and over, like this winter when we were talking about, do you do this? No. If I would have just gone around, kept on patting myself on the back, like, you know, I don't know, why would I want to learn anything? I've already learned it all. You know what I mean? That was just, how stupid was that? That I even thought that, you know, and you can always learn. There is never a day that goes by that you can't learn something. And that has definitely been the way I have approached this project, because I was not excited about doing this project. Everybody knew that. And I am excited about doing it. I'm not excited about this spiral trellis stitch though, but I'll get excited hopefully. And anyways, it's just it's really opened my eyes a lot to about a lot of things. And talking about DMC versus silk, you know, think about Lucy Calcutt. That is one thing that I'm going to get when I'm down at Sassy Jack's. Kim, I hope you have both of those charts, Miss Lucy Calcutt.
Yeah, you should own both. I own both of those. They're very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Krista, I know you do, jerk.
Get with the program, will you?
Yeah, I know. I've got to. I want to stitch both of those and have them side by side. And if, correct me if I'm wrong, Gary, those are done in DMC. Krista charted them using her models are DMC. Is that correct?
I believe you're right. I believe you are correct.
And look and think about how beautiful those both are.
They're
gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. And it's DMC. Yep. So.
No, I see, that's the, you know, that's the thing is having the discussion DMC versus silk is, it's real easy to fall into a trap or, you know, to get snooty and say, well, I only stitch with silk. And there's right. nothing wrong with either one.
No.
And they both deliver. But I think they deliver different qualities and different DMC to me is a more intense color.
Right.
And I think there's a real good place for that. And yeah. I think if you go to the Sarah B Stitch Along site and look at the finished pieces, some in silk, some in DMC, I think that if you put them side by side, I think you would be hard pressed to decide which you like better. Meaning anyone.
Yeah.
I think that people would be hard pressed to say, wow, you know, there's no question I would go with silk, or there's no question I go with DMC. I think you can bounce back and forth and feel comfortable either way. And I mm-hmm. think that's the classic example of how that argument, one or the other, if you can call it an argument, really doesn't, it's a really a non-argument, because it's a perfect personal preference.
Yeah.
And I think that there are some instances where one or the other would be a preferred. And, mm-hmm. and, oh, I agree with you. Those Lucy Calcutts, you know, Well, the next, after Sarah B, the next sampler I do, I'm doing it all in DMC.
Okay. Well, I'm with you on that. And well, I'm already doing Sarah B all in DMC. So what, I'm already with you, but anyways,
yeah,
I think we should do Lucy Calcutt. I think that we should stitch that together. One of them, maybe you should stitch one and I'll stitch the other one. Anyways. Put that on the memo. Anyways, I think, and it's just like,
help me.
This needs to be like a, I think that another thing, you know, you throw in overdyed cottons too. And, you know, then you have this DMC overdyed cotton silk, you know, this whole, I think that you have to come down to, it's another personal preference thing, just like you said. And it's also, let's talk about like cost. Some of us do not have deep pockets and can just, you know, help, you know, like order up the silks, baby. You know what I mean? Some people can't do that. I couldn't do that with everything that we have, kids in college and every, you know, food on the table and all that stuff. And I think that DMC, although, you know, people complain about how much it is, you know, 55, 60 cents for a skein of DMC, how many hours of pleasure are you going to have for 60 cents? You know what I mean? Even if you need 100 skeins, that's still relatively not very expensive. And I think that DMC holds a place. And a lot of times we get a little, sometimes you can get a little big for your britches. And I'm talking me, myself, too, because there's times where I think, oh, well, this is charted for DMC. Well, I'm going to do overdyed cottons. Just why? Because I want to. I think that it also, you just have to, what kind of look do you want? You know what I mean? And silk is going to give you a different look than DMC. Overdyed cottons is going to give you a different look than silk or DMC. You know what I mean? And you just have to choose what you want to work with. It's all good. We can't be snooty about, well, I only do this and yada yada, you know?
Yeah. Well, to me, overdyed cottons are just another tool.
Right.
You know, right. To anybody, I struggle with the statement, I only use overdyed cottons. No, that's just another tool. And it's just cotton at its base. It's still cotton floss. And if there are some colors or shades or variegations that improve your piece that DMC doesn't offer, then sure, you know, use it, go nuts. Or if you want to do something different, I mean, there are some colors that of overdyed that you just really can't get with DMC, and some really nice ones. And yeah, use it.
Yeah,
you know, it's like if I were doing a Bristol sampler, I would take a hard look at some of the overdyed reds because, you know, there's some that are pretty rich in terms of visually, you know, visual intensity and depth of color that I'd be interested in.
Right.
But it's just, to me, it's just another tool. I don't.
Right. It's a look. Yeah. It's a look. But I will say this, when I kitted that Ann Rayner up, okay, from the attic, Gene sent me the Ann Rayner chart after the Sampler Sunday deal that we had, our first Sampler Sunday. And I said that was my unicorn pattern. I didn't have it. And Gene sent it to me. Then I kitted up my Ann Rayner, and I recently got that from the attic. And Gene, you know, as Gene does, she changed the colors because I believe that it was all charted within DMC. And she changed it to silks, and she uses Belsoir. It's all right. What I got was all Belsoir, and which is from Classic Colorworks. Now I have stitched a lot with Belsoir just because of my relationship with Little House Needleworks and being the finisher and this sometimes model stitcher for Diane's things. I've stitched with Belsoir a lot, and now, I will say I love Belsoir silk, and I think that it gives it has a texture and a puffiness that Soie d'Alger does not have, in my opinion. And maybe that's what I'm struggling with, too, using this on the Queen sampler. You know, maybe it's that, too, because I believe Belsoir has a beautiful, it's a beautiful texture and feel that I feel is not the same as Soie d'Alger. But have you ever used Belle Soie?
No.
Well, can't, I'm going to bring, you need to look at them. I don't need to bring mine. Kim will have them.
Oh, you think we'll be in a place where we can actually look at them?
We need to look at them.
Is that what you're thinking? That we might be able to actually.
And another thing.
Wow, that's going to be so cool, Vonna. I can't wait.
No, me either. We won't even make it up to the classroom. We'll just be looking at all the stuff down in the shop. Anyways, I would also, another thing I have on my list to look while we're there this weekend is that 103 stuff. What is that? Can you tell me about that? I don't know.
No, I can't tell you because I don't know enough about it other than it exists. And I think it's, you like need to be like 55 count or higher before, but I don't
before,
know.
Okay.
I mean, it's thin because it's thin.
Okay, we need to learn about that while we're down there. We're in the place where we
yes,
can learn.
Yes, ma'am.
About it. I've got a list for us. But anyway, so, yeah.
She might have some. We'll see.
Yeah, so anyways, that's my take on
on
all of that. So.
Well, it's, you know, and the whole silk thing, I mean, I was talking to Jean Lee. I was at the store. Oh, it was when we did the video tour of Sarah B., mm-hmm. And I was talking about this very thing with her. At that particular moment, I was leaning toward doing DMC because I'd already seen some what people had delivered. And she, you know, of course, now Jean will tell you to her face, she's a silk snob. I mean, she doesn't even want to hear about DMC. It's silk or nothing. And that, you know, she's upfront about that. She doesn't pull any punches. But right. She, you know, another argument that comes into play here, she looked at me and she said, do you really want to put all those hours in and have the thread be cotton?
Right.
And, okay, I can see that argument too.
Right.
The silk and the longevity that it offers. All right. You can make that argument. You know, and that's the whole thing with all of that is you can go back and forth and back and forth. You can get 20 people in a room and feed them and give them something to drink and let them go till they just completely fall asleep and no one will decide anything. It's a personal preference. It's what you like. And, you know,
it's what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I think the cost factor does come into play more
sure
than
does.
What you think though. I mean,
oh, sure it does.
I mean,
like imagine doing an, heaven and earth design in silks.
I mean, yeah.
Forget that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, some of these samplers have a heck of a load of silk in it. You know what I mean? And it's like, holy smack, it's twice as much in silks than what it is for your pattern and your fabric. So, you know, then you have framing and all that on it too. I think that there's, you just have to like, it's just like, are you going to eat at McDonald's? Or are you going to eat at Red Lobster? You know what I mean? Whatever. And it's all of that. It's all about choices. And it doesn't, I think that some people feel alienated, and we've talked about this before, but I think that this is truly a true statement in the fact that there are some times that people feel alienated if they cannot or do not want to spend that kind of money on silk or whatever. And, you know, then people like, well, that's the only way to stitch it. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think that there is an alienation factor there. And.
Yeah. Oh, I agree 100%. And,
yeah.
And some people would look at you like, oh, you haven't advanced to silk.
Right. Right.
You know, wait till you get to that level. Well,
right.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
Right.
And I think, you know, the money is certainly a factor, but also, it's okay. Let me look at this piece. How much money do I want to put in? How much does this piece mean to me? How much do I want to invest in this?
Right.
Not a lot. I want it to look good. Not a lot. All right, then DMC. Or
right.
No, this one, I'm seeing this heirloom level. All right. Well, then maybe you might want to do silk or maybe not, but
right.
You know, I think there's some decisions to be made up front when it comes to that. And at some point, you know, I've bought 13 projects in the last month, and this is number 14. Mm-hmm. And should I really spend money on
right.
And right. No, I really shouldn't. All right. Then DMC it is. And,
right.
You know, I got a DMC is on sale at Joann's for 40 cents a skein, and, or I can get a deal cause I have a coupon or a gift certificate at my local needlework store. And so I can get it all for a lot less. And,
right.
You just, yeah, it's a decision you have to make, and each person can make that. But no, I don't think that whole elitist thing just drives me nuts anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just drives me absolutely bonkers.
Right. And I mean, I don't really care if you, what you use, you know what I mean? I really don't. I just think that it's the love of joy of needlework. I mean,
right.
Let's face it. I live it. I breathe it. I eat it. I think about needlework all the time. And I have for a large majority of my life. And I love it. And it doesn't matter. I guess what I want to get across to people, and that's why I try to do this as frequently as I can in any venue that I write, talk, or do, is that just do it and embrace it and love it for with whatever you do it with. You know what I mean? That's what I want. I mean, it just brings such great joy to my life, stitching. And this broadening and spreading my wings this year and incorporating other forms of stitching in my life has just enhanced it and has enhanced my love for it. And I could not imagine my life without stitching. I really can't. And, you know, so no matter what products you use or what it's, you know, it's, let's all, you know, it's whatever, just enjoy, just love it, you know, and, right. and do it.
Right.
Don't let it be a factor in contributing that, oh, I can't do that. It's baloney. You can do it with whatever you have. You can do it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That whole thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Aida versus linen, silk versus cotton. Just do what you can afford, what you're comfortable with, and what it means to you, and enjoy it.
Right, right. Yeah. Because I've seen awful, beautiful things. My Jesus is done with DMC on Aida, and it's beautiful. I was laying in bed the other day looking at him in the morning because he's the first thing I see when I open my eyes, and I think, God, that's beautiful. You know what I mean? It is. It is. Yep. I mean, he is beautiful. And I just think, I just can't get over that I did that. I really can't. I really can't believe that I did it. And it's not anything even big. It's not even weird stitches. It's just stitches in Aida with DMC, and he's absolutely gorgeous. And I don't regret doing it on Aida. I've thought about doing it again on linen, you know, and maybe giving my mother or my mother-in-law my Aida one, but then I think, well, that's kind of being snobbish, isn't it? If I can't get rid of Jesus on Aida and do him on linen, that's crazy. He looks beautiful on Aida. And so whatever. I just think that it's silly to get, you know,
right.
to get box, put people in boxes,
yes.
you know, or put yes. yourself in a box, because I put myself, I'm guilty of that just for myself. It's just putting myself in the box that I'm not good at this or that or whatever. And that's silly.
Yep. All right. This weekend we are at Sassy Jack's. First time Vaughn and I will ever have been in the same room. Talk to each other for hours and hours and hours. But so we're going to be at Sassy Jack's for the big Claudia Dutcher event. And going to hear from her and learn about samplers, and we're going to do keep tabs on us, because we're planning to do a number of shows and about what's going on there and what's at Sassy Jack's. And apparently now we're going to look at some threads and we're hoping to maybe get some of the people who are there to just kind of join us and talk about their stitching.
Yeah.
So,
I love talking about stitching.
Yeah. So that's this weekend. So I don't know how many shows we'll get in, but we hope to get several. So watch for us live and video and audio. And we're just going to do as much as we can in addition to enjoying and learning. and try to bring to you as much as we can of the event and what's all to be offered there. So
right, yeah. And I think, you know, I want to tell you that, say one thing while we're talking about this, you know, our shows and stuff.
Just one thing?
Yeah, just one thing. Okay. One quick thing. I had I had a lady
buckle up.
Email. Yeah. I had a lady email me and say that she's disabled and she cannot get out to go to retreats and stuff like that, and how much that she appreciates you when you go like to Nashville and when you've gone to Sassy Jack's and stuff, how she appreciates how what you've done by showing people, you know, like the attic when you're at the attic, or, you know, talked with Nicola and stuff like that, how much she appreciates that because she knows that she cannot do that. She cannot get out of her home because of her disability. But not only that, because, you know, even if she could get out of her home because of money factors and travel expenses and things like that. And so she was saying just in general that she was just looking so forward to us doing, you know, shows and interviews and stuff while we're down there this weekend. So know that that's appreciated, Gary. And I should have forwarded that email to you, and I neglected to do that. But anyway,
that's nice. That's nice of her to say that. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So
no, and that's, yeah, we get to go and we're going to try and deliver that as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We are.
In however we do it.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of young Nicola, last Wednesday, we did a video Wednesday. Go watch those.
Mm-hmm.
Go watch those videos. The there's two of them. One is a Bristol sampler.
Harriet Salt.
Yeah, Harriet Salt. And so that's just beautiful because it's red on a cream or kind of a yellowish linen. That's just beautiful. But then the other is a new introduction from Hands Across the Sea. And I knew I would forget the name.
It's the one with the two little girls and the cat.
Yes, yes. And I bring that up because whether you care a lick about samplers, watch that video, because in that video is that sampler, reproduction sampler, stitched two ways. It's stitched regular cross stitch, and then the next time, and this is just off the cuff here, so I didn't prepare at all. So I forget who did the actual stitching, and I apologize for that. Sorry, Nicola. But she put a bunch of different stitches in the second time she did it. And it is amazing what she accomplished. It's absolutely amazing. And the reason I say that, whether you give a rip or not about reproduction samplers, it's an excellent example of what can be accomplished by going beyond what is prescribed by the designer.
Mm-hmm.
And so going from basic cross stitch and what can be done. And it was not a massive effort. She chose her spots throughout the sampler and said, you know, I think some eyelets would work great here, or whatever stitching, different things to bring out and add dimension. And it's remarkable. It really is remarkable what was accomplished with the same sampler.
Yep.
And so you can see, and if you take that and view it with an open mind, not as, oh, this is a sampler, so it only applies to samplers. View it with an open mind to any of your stitching, you know, whether it's an ornament or a giant needlepoint or whatever. View it as, look what can be done with just some simple changes and how they enhance and bring out dimension and texture in a piece that is not there with basic cross stitch.
Right.
And it's just really remarkable. I was so glad that I was able to do that video with Nicola, and the stitcher actually took the time to do that, because she had to do that sampler both two times. And so worth it, because it's such an example of what can be done.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's kind of illustrated it, like what you said, poignantly to the two different examples side by side.
Right.
But then you'd also think about, that's kind of what Linda Vinson did with the Queen sampler too, right? She just kind of added,
right,
you know, she added her own flair to it, and that, you know, look what that is. You know what I mean? So It is. It is inspiring to see that. And then I think, gosh, would I be able to, you know, do that? You know what I mean? To know where it was just so perfectly placed and executed, and you could see that, oh yeah, that did really enhance it. I don't know that I would have thought that, I mean, to do that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Yep. It's beautiful. Yeah, you're right.
So check that out. All right. We got to quit this, okay. This episode. Now, as you heard at the beginning, thanks again to Kim and Sassy Jacks for sponsoring this show, and looking forward to seeing Kim in Weaverville this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yes. So we'll do that. So thanks to Kim again for ongoing support of Fiber Talk. We really appreciate it, and it does make it possible because, So we appreciate that, and we'll be bringing you more from Weaverville, North Carolina, live and in person. How's that?
That's going to be awesome.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.